Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and welcome to Tuesday morning's edition of the Woman's Hour podcast. Good morning. Welcome to the programme. Tweet away if you want to get involved at BBC Woman's Hour, or you can email us via our website. Today's first talking point might well be something that interests you. What do you do if your partner has been unfaithful? We'd like to hear from you this morning. Lots of emails already, and thank you very much for those. And of course, no names mentioned, anonymity guaranteed this morning. Also today, Rome has a female mayor. Is there hope then for Italy? Some say it is the land feminism forgot. And an honest account of motherhood when your child has Down syndrome. That's on the programme today. So if your partner's been unfaithful, do you stay in the relationship or do you ask them to go? What happens? How do you feel? How might you be expected to feel? Well, CJ Grace is not going to judge you whatever you do because she wants you to feel better about yourself. Now, that ultimately is the aim of your book, which is called Adulterer's Wife, CJ, and it claims to, I'm quoting here, help you overcome the tsunami of fury, loneliness, jealousy and sadness. So I've got to start by asking you, what qualifies you to write a book like this?
Well, having been through that situation myself and also having a background of journalism, I felt that I needed to write down a path for women who are going through this extremely devastating experience and show them that you can come out of it stronger, whether you stay with your husband or not. In some ways, it's a kick in the backside to reevaluate the rest of your life and see how you really want to live it. What do you want to do that's fulfilling with or without your husband?
Now, this seems to be a very heterosexual book. You focused entirely, have you, on heterosexual marriages particularly and women whose husbands have strayed?
Yes, but it's the same whether it's the other way around, whether you're in a relationship and it's the wife that strayed, whether it's a same-sex partnership, the devastation's the same. If you've had a long-term relationship with somebody, it really feels like a bereavement when you come across the fact that they have betrayed your trust. And you have to work out, first of all, do you want to stay or not, and not take a hurry, not be in a hurry to make that decision, and use it not to sink into a morass of depression, but to actually come out stronger.
Now, some people, of course, would say that it is a failure to stay or to stay in the relationship. What about that?
Some people might say it's a failure to go, that you're being weak, staying with somebody that's not treating you well. But there are so many different variants of the circumstance. Is he going to give up the other woman or is she going to give up the other man? Is she going to, or is he going to make an effort to reconcile with you, to make the relationship better than it was before? Do you have enough of a good relationship with the man or the woman to want to stay? All of these things are factors, and you can't have a one-size-fits-all solution.
Well, I'm looking at some of the emails we've had. Some of them are from listeners with very young children, for example. Let's talk about that particular situation. You find out your partner's been unfaithful. You have young children. You decide you want to stay in that relationship. You want to keep them with you for the sake of the children, at least to start with. How do you allow yourself to start to like this person who has treated you so badly? In other words, how do you make it easier for them to stay because you're not sort of hurling abuse and being horrible to them all the time, as you actually want to do, you want to be?
Well, there are two really dreadful roles for the woman that's been cheated on. There's the long-suffering wife as a victim, and then there's the queen bitch who's venomous and jealous and really deserved it because she's such a nasty person. You don't have to be either of those roles. You can choose to be your own independent person and pursue your own interests, even if you have young children, and work with your husband. Your husband has to be a willing partner to make things better and to reconcile. But you can make things better than they were before. I know quite a few couples that have gone through infidelity and actually come through stronger than before. However, I know no couples that have come through stronger when the man or the woman continues to see other people. That's a much harder situation, but a lot of people do put up with that.
All right, perhaps I didn't phrase the question properly. I probably didn't, but this is what I really want to ask you, is how do you go about treating somebody nicely when actually you can't stand them? In fact, you hate them.
you have to get over hating them because you're going to be creating purgatory for you and your husband. You've got to find a way of letting go and forgiving what's happened and finding a way of... Because the other thing is, if your husband has been unfaithful, does that mean that he is a demon 100%? No, there are other things in your relationship. There are other aspects of his personality that were there that made you fall in love with him in the first place. So you have to try to work on those aspects if you choose to stay. And if you have young children, as you told me from that email example, you do have narrower options because everybody is going to feel more comfortable keeping the children in an intact home.
Let me read you this email. My story is that one morning my husband announced he was leaving me because he didn't love me anymore. We'd been married for about 6 years. We had a 2- and a 4-year-old. He vehemently denied there was anybody else involved, but I was confused and baffled. I'll keep it brief, but obviously this is a summary of your email, listener, so you know who you are. He then catalogued 5 affairs that he'd been carrying on over the entire marriage, and he gave every detail of how he'd foiled any suspicions I might have had. He excused himself with the phrase, "Haven't you ever noticed I never said trust me?" Then he said, "I got more pleasure from the deceit than from the affairs." 6 weeks later, when affair number 5 dumped him, he came back and offered to return under certain conditions. Condition A, he can have other women. B, he'll leave when the children grow up. And C, I can't remember the rest. Everybody else listening will be glad to know that this listener did refuse that offer. I mean, that he does sound incredible.
Oh, yes.
Is one adjective I could apply to him.
And one thing that I would tell all women, whether you've got an unfaithful partner or not, remember that information is power. You need to have control of the finances. The number of women I've come across who never pay a bill, who don't know anything about the financial circumstances of their marriage. I can give you one example of an older lady in her 60s who had been married for a long time, and her husband unceremoniously dumped her for a secretary living abroad. He went and salted all the money away over that he'd planned it. So she ended up with virtually nothing because he knew what he was doing. So you need to have a very active role in your finances. You need to also find out what the rules are about divorce. I come from America. I'm actually a resident of America rather than Britain now. And in every state in America, there are different laws. In every country in Europe, there are probably different laws about inheritance, about all of those things. So you need to really be informed, and then it'll help you make a better decision.
This is another listener who says, "I knew about my husband's affair from the start because I happened to come across an email. He denied everything. Denying was going to be his strategy for a decade. I tried everything. I did give priority to my marriage rather than my work. I talked to him. I also talked about it to friends, women and men, to understand what was happening. Most gave me the soothing answer, it was just a friendship and nothing to worry about, but some said I had to be realistic about it. In the end, he chose to stay with me. She was never going to leave her husband anyway, and he promised he still loved me. I still don't know, though, whether I did the right thing. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm sad. I hate this woman every moment of every day, but there's no way I can tell her or make her apologise for the hurt and pain she inflicted. Either way, I think you lose." Well, that is true, of course, but I mean, do you actually prioritise staying in a relationship that is doing you no good whatsoever?
It depends on your finances, on the age of your children, on whether you do feel that you do have a good relationship other than the infidelity. I would say in response to that particular email that you are hurting yourself by constantly blaming the other woman. One of the mantras of my book, Adulterous Wife, How to Thrive Whether You Stay or Not, is that revenge is not sweet. And the best revenge you can have is to get past the need for it, with or without your husband. You have to work out ways to let go of that anger. And blaming the other woman, is she more to blame than the husband? She didn't have that vow of fidelity, did she, with you?
Let's talk about some of your advice, actually. I think page 56, I seem to remember. I'll grab it now. But you suggest that actually maybe the woman, because we are talking, people are complaining that we're focusing on heterosexual relationships. I did make it clear, and you did make it clear at the beginning, that this applies, you believe, in all sorts of relationships.
So let's absolutely.
Let's be clear about that. But page 56, consider doing things such as revamping your wardrobe, shaving your armpits, manicuring, sorting out your eyebrows. I mean, really? Does a woman have to do that?
No. Consider doing whatever you want to do to make you feel like you are an attractive, vibrant person. And that doesn't necessarily mean any of that. I, for instance, hate makeup. Never wear makeup. I don't care if somebody tells me I look better with makeup on. I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to wear nail varnish. That's just not me. But for some women, they forget about themselves when they get married. They lose their identity. All the interests and exciting things they did before they were married, it gets subsumed into looking after the children, ministering to the husband, and maybe even helping him with his business if you have a family business. And your own identity is gone. You don't bother to take care of your appearance. You don't bother to do things that make
so,
you feel
minister
good.
Minister to yourself. Is,
absolutely.
Is something you say. Okay.
And absolutely.
Why would, if you've had an affair, why confess to it?
Well, sometimes men do, or men or women, they do it because they feel guilty and it makes them feel better. And they feel that they're being honest. But often it actually damages the relationship. Because if you are no longer seeing the other person, then all you're doing is opening a can of worms and making the woman feel that she can't trust you. And if you're continuing to see other people, then you're giving her an awful choice to make. Do I want to be with this person that's always going to be going astray? So there are quite a lot of therapists that actually advise that the husband doesn't, if that, that there isn't a lot of benefit out of confessing. However, it's a lot better to confess than to be found out. And if you're found out, then there's a lot more anger involved and a lot more feeling of betrayal.
Here's a viewpoint from a listener who says, there hasn't been any thought about what the alternatives to this loaded term adultery might be. We seem to be stuck in a world where monogamy is seen as the only viable option in a relationship, and anything that strays outside that is cheating or betrayal.
I write about that, and there are open relationships, but if that open relationship is thrust upon you by your partner without your consent, it is not open. It is not consensual. So, yes, if both parties are equally non-monogamous, sure. But if you've entered into a marriage contract or some kind of partnership with somebody with the understanding that they are going to be with you and not with other people, then they are breaking trust by being with other people. Plus, in our day and age with STDs flying around, you're putting your partner at risk for all of that stuff.
Yeah, somebody tweeted earlier on, I tweeted out, what should you do if your partner's had an affair? And it was a male listener actually, said, well, make sure you go to the VD clinic.
Absolutely.
That's a practical step.
Yes.
Richard emails to say, no, I won't read that, Richard. We'll leave that one if you don't mind. This from a listener who says, suggest to rediscover why you fell in love with a man in the first place. Get out the photo albums, sit on the floor and read them. It's calming and brings back so many happy memories. That's not a bad one.
That's true, except it can bring back an awful lot of sadness if you feel that you're not going to be able to reclaim that time. If the person has said that they are actually in love with somebody else, then where is that going to leave you? This brings us back to the point that there are so many permutations of how it can go, because sometimes it's not your choice whether the marriage continues or not. The man just walks out and that's it. Sometimes you have options. And if you have options and they're your choices, then it's always a lot better.
Thanks to everybody who's picked up on the phrase an old lady in her 60s. That isn't true, of course. I certainly won't be thinking that eight years' time. I'll be absolutely dead against that for it. Another listener says, my husband had a short, sharp affair which rocked my world. We're not in a very good place with our marriage, but this refocused us. After getting over the shock about 5 years, I now realise it was the best thing that happened to us. Sometimes the best thing to do is nothing, she says.
Absolutely. And that also brings me to another mantra of my Adulterous Wife book, and that is always look out for your own interests and also the interests of your kids. if you go off half-cocked because you're furious, what are you going to do? You want to smash his prized Ming vase over his head and throw the other woman under a train. You might have a few inconvenient legal problems from doing that, and it won't help you.
Yeah, I mean, there are people saying, CJ, that this sounds like a broadcast from the 1950s with Ming vases. And I mean, I think let's move it into the 21st century, where and I think as well people take issue with the idea that women don't know or might not know about their finances. I mean,
it's a generational thing.
Right.
Some of the people of my parents' generation and even
possibly
of my generation and actually of my children's generation don't know about that.
You both have a responsibility.
You do. And sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes the husband knows absolutely nothing about the finances because they've left all the bookkeeping up to the woman.
Let's say this email's from Sally. It isn't, though. My father was routinely unfaithful when I was a child in the 70s and the 80s. My mother forgave him and even allowed his first significant mistress to move in with us from when I was 3 to 10. For a later relationship, he lived partly with us and partly with his other female partner. From a child's point of view, none of this worked. And as I became a teenager, I longed for them to split up. We had to lie for him, and I had to bury my rage about his infidelity and my mother's reluctance to take a stand. Sometimes splitting up is the best option, preserving dignity and bringing clarity for the children.
Now, that's a very important point of view, because it's easy to forget the children when you're going through this amount of emotional stress. And they are as much betrayed as the rest, as you are. And how you deal with them is absolutely critical. It's easy to ignore them during this time because you're so full of anger. You've got all these worries about whether you're even going to be able to continue living in your own home, whether you're going to have to sell everything up if you divorce, whether he's wanting to stay with you or go with the other person, all of those kinds of things. And so the children get forgotten.
What about, we happen to be talking about male partners now, as I keep saying. Obviously, you believe that your advice could apply.
Absolutely.
But let's say your partner is not necessarily being unfaithful, but is simply never there, is either absorbed in work or absorbed in a hobby. Then what?
Then it's the same thing. You have to find a way to feel complete in yourself so that you don't need your husband or your wife or your partner to complete you. You have to use the experience to build yourself up, to make yourself more than you were before, rather than less. If you're sitting at home feeling that you're neglected, wishing that he were there or she were there and she's not, that's not a life, that's purgatory.
This tweeter says, the idea that keeping infidelity a secret to protect trust is nonsensical.
It is nonsensical.
Trust can only come from honesty.
Absolutely, but this is an inherently dishonest situation. And you can understand why men, or particularly men, I'm saying men because that's my experience. I'm a female, not a male.
You're a heterosexual female.
Yes, but it's wonderful to have the affair, which is the unbridled passion, and then you've got little woman at home who's making you dinner and looking after bookkeeping and keeping the house nice. That's the old 1950s. But there are people that don't want their lives disrupted and they like what they've got with their wives, but they also want the cake. They want the candy. And it's as if they're thinking with a part of their body that is not their brain. And when they're called on it by strong women, you can actually change the situation.
I think it's fair to say the conversation's got you talking, got you thinking and got you tweeting. So keep it all up at BBC Woman's Hour. CJ Grace, thank you very much.
Thank you very much
Adulterer's
indeed.
Wife is the name of the book.